Okay, I'm doing lesson four, which is about Aquila and Priscilla. Before we get started, I'd like to have a short prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for all that you do for us every day. We thank you for this time that we have to be together, to learn another portion of your word, to enjoy our children as they learn more about you. We ask that you please be with us the rest of this day. Help us in all that we do. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Aquila and Priscilla. One of the first points that the book here makes is that they are not the typical person that you normally see studied in Scripture. Because, you know, they're not as well known as Peter or Paul or Stephen or some of the others. What they are famous for, in reality, is the way they acted. The term used in the book is their availability. They were available and made themselves available to help Paul and to help the church. So what does available mean? Well, one of the Webster's dictionary talks about availability, or available is suitable or ready for use, of use or service, at hand, readily obtainable, accessible, or having sufficient power or efficacy or valid. In Romans chapter 6, you see where the scripture tells us that we're present yourselves to God as instruments of righteousness. We are to make the best use of our time that is given to us. That's in Colossians. And Romans 12:1 talks about our reasonable service, to give our entire lives as a living sacrifice to God. The question we might make out is, you know, are we available like we should be? Are we in a position to obey these commands that are given by God? Because in today's world, people are busy. We're all busy, our daily lives. But are we too busy? Are we so busy with our daily schedules that we don't have time to make ourselves available to do the work of God? When Aquila and Priscilla they helped Paul in his second missionary journey. He was going to Corinth. And while he was at Corinth, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who has recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because the emperor Claudius had commanded that all Jews were supposed to depart from Rome. And he came to them. So what we see first is they were in Corinth. They came from Rome, you can see on the map up behind me that, so Rome and Corinth, we all know that Corinth is in the lower part of Greece. Rome is about halfway up the Italian peninsula. So they've traveled this, and we look at this today, and I kind of got my little ruler on there one time and measured it, and it's not that far. It's 450, 500 miles, basically. Today, okay, we drive that in one day. Well, back then, that trip would have taken a long time. Now, it doesn't really say whether they sailed, whether they walked, whether they did both on the way, but this would not have been something that they could do in just a day or two. They had to uproot their lives and move. The the scripture tells us that that we don't really have enough evidence that we can actually say that when Paul first met them, they were actually Christians. We know that they were Jews, but we don't know yet that they had been converted. But they were tent makers like Paul. They had the same profession, so they invited him to stay with them in Corinth, beginning probably because they did have the same provision, the same profession, but they let him stay with them in Corinth for over a year and a half. Now, you know, it mentions in Scripture that he was there for a year and a half, but it also mentions later that he was actually there longer than that. And that whole time, they were able to stay with, he was able to stay with Aquila and Priscilla. And he actually took his leave of Ephesus after that, and that's in Acts chapter 18. And he took Aquila and Priscilla with him. But when they came to Ephesus, Paul went on from there, and he left Aquila and Priscilla in Ephesus. Yes?
Well, I was just thinking about them inviting Paul in. I think what's kind of amazing about what Paul is doing and their connection with him is that when Paul left on that missionary journey, and he would travel from city to city, he didn't make plans ahead of time of where he'd stay. Like, if you and I were to go on a mission trip somewhere, and we would make sure airfare was paid for, that we had a car to drive, we had a hotel or somewhere to stay, we'd make sure we had enough funds to take care of us all the time we were there. The length of our trip was based on how much funds we had.
Mm-hmm.
Yet Paul, simply out of faith, leaves Antioch and begins these missionary journeys. And for the first time, he's traveling into Macedonia. We're not even sure, I don't think we can imply that he knew a bunch of people there. But he has now come into Corinth, maybe for the first time. And he goes, he's a tent maker, so I think can imply he's has to do some work for a while because he doesn't have enough funds. And so God providentially has put Priscilla and Aquila here, and like the topic is that they've made themselves available. I mean, they doesn't seem like they knew Paul, and yet they invite him into their home. It's an amazing situation in my mind. And you can see God working through all.
Yeah, I think the providential work of God is just amazing, in this, especially in this particular story, where they were there and they got to know him. And it never says specifically when they were converted, but we know that sometime in this passage they were, and they became Christians. And if you go on a little bit, and it talks about when Paul wrote the letter to the Romans, which was somewhere around AD 55, 56, 57, right in there, we see that Priscilla and Aquila have moved back to Rome. And they had a church there in their house. Paul even mentions that at one point when he's talking about that there should think about Aquila and Priscilla, think about the work they do and about the time that they have spent and about the fact that they invite the Christians into their house, because back then they didn't have actual, quote, churches yet as far as buildings. They met where people could meet, and in many cases, particularly in this case, it was at Aquila and Priscilla's house. And so again, that shows them making themselves available to not just Paul, but to members of the church in general. In Romans 16, 3 and 5, this is where it actually states this, where, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. I think I'm falling behind on my slides. Okay. Yeah. And here we see where, in 1 Corinthians, where he states again, the churches of Asia greet you, Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. So they did this wherever they went. They would allow the Christian community in that area to meet at their house. Now, just when you're talking about their availability, and just to recap a little bit, the events where they met Paul likely happened between AD 50 and 52 when he was in Corinth. And when he wrote the letter to the Romans 2 or 3 years later, he's already talking about them as his fellow workers, as his, you know, fellow Christians that are a part of the church, that they meet in their own house. They're giving Christians in the area access to their house. And then by the time Paul writes 2 Timothy, which was closer to his death, he also talks about Aquila and Priscilla and what they have done for the church. Now, one of the things, okay, now you can see finally, they do actually end up back at Rome. And one of the reasons for this was that because of the spread of Christianity in many cities within the Roman Empire, there was a lot of unrest, particularly among the Jewish community, because they didn't like Christians. And the Christians would preach to the Jews, but they would preach to other people too. The Jews didn't like that either. And so some people, commentators think that that is actually the reason why the Jews were forced out of Rome, was because of all the unrest about the dissent between the Jews and the Christians at that time, when Claudius was the emperor. But so actually the first main point here about being available is you have to be flexible. And now, what does that mean when you're talking about flexible? Well, the first point it makes here is that don't be too comfortable. One of the things that we see today in our society is that everybody's main goal in life is comfort, is leisure time. You know, I do all this stuff day after day after day after day so that I can cool, just chill out and not really have to do with anything. Well, that's being too comfortable. You know, the Bible does not condemn the concept of leisure, but what it does condemn is when you do that to the point where you become lazy and unfruitful. And a lot of times that can happen to us, particularly nowadays. Now, one thing it mentions about them, Aquila and Priscilla, apparently they were not afflicted with that comfort disease because, you know, these people, the straight line measure of all these little travel things here on the slide up there is 2,600 miles. Straight line measure. Well, I don't think they were able to exactly travel that straight. So it was longer than that by quite a proportion, I would imagine. Because I know that when Roger was up here talking about how difficult it was to sail back then, well, yeah, it was. These could be months long, these travels, and we can drive that far in about like 4 or 5 days now. But back then, no, it was travel. Okay. The okay. We talked about not being too comfortable. And another thing we should do is don't miss opportunities. And the Bible teaches that, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those that are of the household of faith. That's Galatians 6:10. In Ephesians, it talks about, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's in Ephesians chapter 5. Number 3, don't be too busy to help. We mentioned that a little bit earlier. Sometimes we get so busy in our daily lives that we don't seem to have time to do anything, so we're not making ourselves available for the work of the church, for helping out, for, you know, even doing little things that might help out our fellow Christians and non-Christians, because we're supposed to be good to all people as much as we can, especially to the household of faith. It touches here on the tale of that Jesus tells the Good Samaritan parable. That's a prime example of, you know, who was good to that guy. You know, we know about the fact that when the priest went by and the Levite went by, they just walked by. Poor guy laying beside the road. But then, so apparently, at least back then, the fact that they were religious didn't really have anything to do with whether they thought they were too busy to help this man out. Okay, number 4, don't get too attached to people or places. That is something that we can be afflicted by too. I mean, should we enjoy, you know, the friendships we have with each other, with members of the church, with our families? Of course we should. But that too can get, you can get too attached to people so that you're not willing to be flexible, and therefore not willing to be available for the work of the church. Jesus, when he was in Capernaum, had basically started to become pretty famous, and people wanted to come see him and all like that. So he could have stayed there, and he could have been popular, and he would have been able to be just everybody's favorite person. But did he do that? No. The next day, he left because he had work. He had to preach the gospel. He had to go out and share what he had to share to confirm who he was. Did Jesus value relationships? Well, yes, of course he did. But he did not let that dissuade him from his purpose and from his mission. That doesn't mean that he didn't love the people that were close to him, because he did. But he had a higher purpose. Remember that. So the first thing we're talking about being available was flexibility. We're going to move on to the second one now, where when it talks about Aquila and Priscilla, that you wonder about how they did things and when they moved to these different places. And some of the commentators think that they sort of left a manager in charge of their business in, like, Rome when they went to Corinth, and then when they went to Ephesus, they did it again. But they really don't know, so they could have just basically pulled stakes and left and set up again in their next city. The point is that this was not something that they did. It wasn't easy for them to do this. You know, it wasn't, like I said, not only did they travel a long way, but they, to a certain extent, had to start from scratch in each place they went to reestablish their business, to reestablish a place to live, a place to do business. And they did this only because they wanted to continue to work with Paul, to work with the church, to see that the gospel was spread to the point where they, like we said, they allowed people to come in their own house all the time, and especially for worship. Now, One of the things that was interesting with when they talked about the relationship that Aquila and Priscilla had with Apollos, because Apollos was a smart man. He was from Alexandria. He was very eloquent. He knew the scriptures that he knew, and he was able to talk to people about it. And so Aquila and Priscilla got to know him, and this kind of gives our second issue about availability, and it has to do with focus. It just says here really quick, why didn't Paul and Aquila and Priscilla stop going to the synagogues when they got to Ephesus? And because they were focused on preaching the word, on telling people about Christ. And one of the first types of people that they wanted to go to was their Jewish brethren, because they would not want them to be lost. And even though it caused problems in the synagogue in many cities, it caused them to have problems with their Jewish brethren, they were not going to neglect them. They were going to continue to preach the gospel to them. And as a matter of fact, that's one of the places they actually met Apollos. Now, Apollos was a believer in God, but he did not know yet about that Christ was the actual Savior. And so when they talk about how they did this and the fact that they were, I know Jody was just talking about how we evangelize today and how we don't seem to be as good at it as we used to. One of the reasons for this is because we don't have this characteristic that they used to have, that they would go places where maybe they're uncomfortable to go. Maybe they're not sure how people would react to them. But they went anyway, because the preaching of the word was more important than their personal comfort and their day-to-day life. One of the questions that this also asks about availability is it's not easy to continue to be available to someone or some group of people after you have a negative experience with them. And so do we do that today? They talked back then about their relationship with the Jews because of the contention that went on repeatedly in different cities. Well, do we kind of have our Jews today? Do we have people or groups of people that we really don't go talk to or don't become involved with just because we had a negative experience with them? And the synagogues, they would go to the synagogues and talk to people about Christ. And now, did that get converts? Yes, it did. But did that also make people angry? Oh, yes, it did. And, to the point of violence in many cases back then. But they still did it. And we kind of, sometimes today we seem to lose our focus when it comes to actually talking to people. We kind of get blind spots, if you will, about certain people, certain groups of people. Well, they won't listen, so I don't really need to waste my time and go talk to them. Well, in reality, that's really who you should waste your time and go talk to. But the way that society is today, sometimes we just don't do that. Okay. Now, we're going to touch again with Apollos, because he was a Jew, native of Alexandria, a very eloquent man. He had a top-notch education. He was mighty in the scriptures, and so he knew his Bible. Some people, now you've heard people say that he knows his Bible back and forth. or north and south or stuff like that. Well, Apollos was kind of one of those guys. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he was fervent in spirit. And the things that he taught accurately. But he was only familiar with the baptism of John. He was not familiar with the baptism that is the way that we do things now and the way they started back then. In Acts chapter 19, there were others who had been baptized with the baptism of John after the events of Acts 2. Perhaps they were even taught by Apollos themselves. But when Paul taught them about the one baptism, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. So, and Apollos is probably the prime example we see, particularly in Scripture, about somebody who is fervent for the Lord. He's a believer, but hasn't been instructed completely the way that he should be. And that's one of the things that Aquila and Priscilla did for him. One thing we need to talk about today is things, because we come up against this all the time. If we're doing most of what we do to do right, is that good enough? I mean, there are many people today, including, quote, Christians, that are doing a lot of good things, but they're not teaching the gospel. They're not teaching baptism in order to be saved. They're not teaching the things that you really need to know to be in the Lord's church and to be part of his kingdom. Apollos. Remember, he was somebody that knew facts about the Bible, knew his scripture, was very eloquent. But remember that Aquila and Priscilla, they took him aside and taught him the way of the Lord more, some versions say perfectly or accurately. And that's in Acts chapter 18. But how did they do this? Number one, that was a private conversation. It was not some sort of a public thing where they called him out in front of people. It was an explanation, not a condemnation, what they did when they taught him. And it involved both of them. Aquila and Priscilla helped teach Apollos. So there was not, you know, only like, this is one of those cases where we know that Priscilla also talked to Apollos and taught him. And when they taught Apollos, then he knew the way of the Lord more perfectly. And Brian's about to ring the first bell, so I need to speed up. Okay, and he didn't ring the bell. Okay, good, I do have a couple more minutes. Aquila and Priscilla knew that it wasn't fair for Apollos not to know the gospel more accurately. And it also wasn't fair for those who were listening to him to not hear the accurate gospel. So it wasn't just for Apollos that they were doing this. It was for everybody that Apollos went out to teach afterwards. He was able to do it more accurately and bring more people to Christ. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about the fact that in chapter 2, verse 1, "And I, Paul, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom." But Aquila and Priscilla, they took him in anyway. They believed him. They saw that he spoke the truth. And this is just another way that they made themselves more available to him. Now, point that the book makes now is that, you know, we talk about people becoming Christians. Well, who is a Christian? If someone is almost a Christian, are they a Christian? Or are we really being fair to people when we ignore important religious issues? Funny how people bring that up, but it is important, because if you are not doing everything that you need to do to become a Christian, to be saved, to be a part of the kingdom of God, then it is important, because you're not doing what you need to do. And that is where we come in when we go out to talk to people. I mean, it's got a couple of quick, pretty good definitions here. A Christian is someone who has heard, understood, accepted, and biblically responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. A Christian is someone who is learning and living his or her life based on the example of the teachings of Christ. It's not in this time, and we see this all the time, it's an us or a them thing. Well, it's not supposed to be like that. We see many times in many different parts of society where if you're not part of my group, then I don't even pay attention to you. Then you're basically not even there. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. We need to talk to these people. We need to treat them not as an enemy, but as an opportunity. And is it hard? Yes, it's hard. It's very hard. And sometimes you can't hardly speak when you're starting to talk to somebody about this, because you know how hard it is, but we still need to try to speak. Okay, I'm going to try to bring this home just a little bit. The bottom line here, okay, how flexible are we individually and as a congregation? And do we let our schedule dictate our availability? Or do we get out of our schedule and make ourselves available the way we should? How focused are we individually and as a congregation? You know, is that the purpose of the church is to evangelize, to go out, to talk to people, to let people see Christ in us? How well are we focused when we do that? And one thing we need to do is be fair as an individual, as a family, as a congregation. Because remember, today, in today's world, it is so easy to just ignore people that don't fit in your little set of circumstance and just pretend like they're not really there. People do that all the time. And it's something we need to think about all the time when we are. And, you know, what can we do to incorporate more availability into our schedules? You know, we need to remember our purpose. And is it hard? Yes. Sometimes it can be very hard. We get busy. We get sort of blinderish about our daily lives because we have the routine. We do this at 8 o'clock in the morning. We do this at 12. We do this on Tuesday. We do this on Friday. And somehow we keep doing that to the point where we forget what our purpose is. And we need to get back to remembering that. And trying to see if there's anything. Oh. So, like I said, the main purpose of this lesson is to check ourselves as individuals and as a congregation. Are we available for the work that the church does? And by the way, that also includes benevolence and all the things that we discussed before. But are we available to do that?